Good morning, Crossroads Family Church, and for all of those others that are joining in, welcome, and God bless. So the title of the sermon today is Faith That Overcomes the Storm. In 1 John chapter 5, it says, everyone that's born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So we're going to talk about faith today and how important it is in our lives. So what kind of faith do you have? Have you ever really wondered what it means to have great faith? Great faith will help you to receive a breakthrough. It will help you to receive God's promises for protection and provision. Faith will empower you to tap into God's ability, His strength, His blessing, and His peace. So when Jesus encountered people with all kinds of different levels of faith and kinds of faith, and to some He said, oh, you have little faith. His disciples, probably on more than one occasion, He rebuked them for their lack of faith, for their unbelief. Some people said in the Bible they had no faith. And yet the Canaanite woman in Matthew 15, she was persistent, would not give up. And Jesus said to her, woman, great is your faith. To the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, he says, I've not found such great faith in all of Israel. So we need faith today to weather this storm and to make it to the other side. And so Hebrews chapter 6, it says, we have this hope, and God is our hope, that He's the God of all hope. And that hope is an anchor for our emotions, our heart, our soul, and it's sure and it is strong. So this last Monday, I was on the Wolf River fishing with a good friend of mine, and it was really windy out. So we tried to anchor, and the anchors really wouldn't hold us. So they wouldn't hold us on the river. The wind was just too strong, but Jesus is our anchor, and He's able to help us to stay fixed and established and trusting Him and have our feet like hinds feet and to be strong and make it through it. So we serve a great, big, wonderful God. He's inside of you, hopefully, if you're a believer, and He's on your side. He's for you. Romans 8, if God is for us, nothing can successfully stand and come against us. Hebrews chapter 12, He tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We know from the story of Peter walking on the water, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. What a miracle. It was amazing. But once he got his eyes on the storm and the wind and the waves, he began to sink. It's pretty cool, though, that even Jesus, when he looks at us with our failed faith or our sinking, he'll still reach out his arm and help us, just like he did for Peter. So Mark chapter 4, he said we're going to go to the other side. So in the midst of the storm or in the midst of the water we're facing right now, we're facing trials, difficulties, hardships, all kinds of difficulties in our life. And I'm going to quote from John Gordon again, a quote that I shared with you last week. The number one predictor of success in your life, well, that's Jesus. But another thing that's really important is grit. The grit is the ability to persevere. It's a tenacity. It's a perseverance. And it's an endurance that perseveres, overcomes, and moves forward, even in spite of all the challenges and failures and obstacles that you face. So this is a story, of a farmer and his donkey. So one day, a farmer's donkey falls into the well. And the animal cried and made a lot of noise for hours while the farmer tried to figure out what to do. So finally the farmer decides, you know, the mule is old, the well needed to be covered up anyway, and it wasn't worth the energy to retrieve the donkey. So he invited his neighbors to come over and help him, and they all grabbed a shovel and they began to shovel dirt into the well. At first the donkey realized what was happening, and he made a lot of noise again. And then to everybody's amazement, the donkey quieted down. A few shovel loads later, the farmer finally looked down the well, and he's astonished to what he saw and what he found. With each shovel of dirt that hit the donkey's back, he was doing something amazing. He would shake it off and take a step forward. As the farmer's neighbor continued to shovel dirt on the animal, the donkey would shake it off and just step up and step forward. Pretty soon, everyone is amazed as the donkey stepped over the edge of the well and happily trotted off. Well, what's the moral of this story? Well, life is going to shovel a lot of dirt on you. And right now, you're probably feeling like you're covered in it right now, and you're probably in the bottom of that pit and the bottom of that well. So the trick of getting out of that well or out of that pit is to shake it off and to take a step up. Take a step towards Jesus. Take a step of faith. This is a great time. I'm using that phrase every week to lean into Jesus, to draw close to him and to get to know him, because he's the answer of every difficulty, everything that you'll face in this life. So you can get out of the deepest wells just by shaking it off and taking a step up. And that step is a step towards Jesus. And that's a step of faith and trust. Jesus rebuked the disciples and he said, truly I say to you, if you have faith as small as a grain or a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, move from here and it will move and nothing will be impossible to you. So God is a God of miracles and he's looking to show up in your life right now and do some miracles on your behalf right now. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith in God right now will help you get through this pandemic. Faith is putting your trust in something and taking a step in a direction that the evidence points to. We talked about a little bit of that evidence of the resurrection the last 2 weeks. So what is evidence? Everybody lives by faith in one way or another, whether you're religious, non-religious, whether you're an atheist or whether you're a Christian. Every person at every moment of day, you make decisions based on faith or evidence. And you choose to put your trust in something based on that evidence that you believe. So right now, we're trusting that we won't get the virus. I would say also, probably be a good idea to wash your hands a lot and practice social distancing and follow those guidelines that have been given to us. Also, I'd really trust in Jesus as well. I trust that when I drive, that I'm not going to be in an accident driving. Some of my friends, when they drive with me, they say that I have an ability to help them lean to the Lord and go to the Lord in prayer. So, but when you get in your car, you trust you're not going to be in an accident. So also when you go to work or if you're sitting in an office chair, you're trusting that that chair is not going to collapse when you sit on it. So life is actually all about trust, all of our relationships, all kinds of aspects of life. It requires you to make decisions based on different types of evidences. So God, there's a great evidence. He's faithful, he's loving, he's good, he's great, he's powerful, and he's trustworthy. So let's trust God, let's have faith in him, and that actually then will God will release his peace, his strength, his hope, his blessing, and his power to make it through this. Here's another story. It's called Prime the Pump. And for today, us talking about faith, let's prime our faith today. So the following letter is found. It's found in actually a baking powder can. It was wired to the handle of an old pump that was offered the only hope of drinking water on a very long and seldom used trail in one of Nevada's deserts. This pump is all right as of June 1932. I put a new sucker washer in it and ought to last at least 5 years. But the washer dries out and the pump has to be primed. Under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water out of the sun and corked up with that end up. There's enough water in there to prime the pump, but not if you drink some of it. Pour about 1/4 and let her soak to wet the leather. Then pour in the rest, medium fast, and then pump like crazy. You'll get water. The well has never run dry. Have faith. When you get watered up, fill the bottle and put it back like you found it for the next fella that comes along and needs some water as well. Signed, Desert Pete. P.S. Don't drink the water first. Prime the pump with it and you'll get all you can hold. So we need to prime the pump as far as our faith. Priming the pump is your relationship with Jesus. And I would highly suggest that you get really close to God right now and every day the rest of your life. I would highly suggest that you get to know the Word of God because that's the lamp for our feet and a light for our path. It's a manual for how we're supposed to live our lives. I would highly suggest and recommend for you to get to know God, His will, and how to obey Him and serve Him. God has a plan for your life. He loves you, and He wants you to discover that plan. And maybe today is the day that you take that step to discovering God's plan for your life. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So let's have faith. We know that, God actually is a rewarder of those that seek him. And so let's diligently seek after him and see the rewards that God desires to bring in our life at this time. So once again, I say it over and over, but it's a really good time to get close to God. The God that created all this universe, he has a whole world in the palm of his hands. He's wanting to reach out to you and to give you his peace, his joy, his hope, his strength, and his blessing. And faith will help you reach into the arms of God and tap into those blessings. It will help you to face and overcome all of your fears. Here's another story. It's the story of the African impala. The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in enclosure in a zoo with a 3-foot wall. You say, well, how can they do that? This animal will not jump if it cannot see where their feet will fall. Probably won't get this story exactly right, but this girl strayed away from her family when they were out camping, and she went up into the hills, and they didn't find the daughter till night. But she was up on a ledge, and her father discovered her. They could talk back and forth, but the father couldn't get where she was, and she couldn't get where he was unless she jumped off the ledge. But she was afraid to jump off the ledge because she couldn't see her dad. But her dad convinced her to jump because he said, I'm right here, I'm going to catch you, and you're going to be fine. So she took a leap of faith, trusting her dad, that her dad loved her dad cared for her dad would protect her, and their dad would catch her, and that's exactly what happened. And God wants us to take a leap of faith and actually just trust him with our lives and with our future and the circumstances that we're facing even right now. The Bible is full of examples of great faith, so I'm going to share a few of those today. We could go on and on about all the stories in the Bible that have stories of great faith and people that believe the Lord. One of those examples is Gideon. And, you know, Gideon had a huge army, and they were going to take on the Midianites. And they had an army of 32,000. But God didn't want Gideon to think that he defeated the Midianites with his own strength and his own great army. So God has Gideon reduce his army all the way down to 300 men. So he knows that the only way to defeat them, that they have to rely on God. So God gives him a battle plan. It's kind of a crazy battle plan. He said, I want you to blare your trumpets and smash the jars. And actually, this battle plan put the Midianites' camp and their army into confusion, and they actually killed each other off in the midst of the chaos. So God has a battle plan for you to make it through the chaos that you're facing right now. Put your faith and your trust in him. He's wanting to do some miracles in your life so you can have some faith stories to tell. The book of Acts is plural. The book of Acts is being written every day of our lives as we're seeing the hand of God, God answering prayer and doing miracles in our life. And he'd like to show up every day of your life and show you how big, how loving, and how powerful he is. So we're in the midst of a lot of pain. Life is filled with a lot of pain. If you didn't know that, life is not fair. Life is difficult, and it's filled with a lot of pain. And people don't like pain. People hate pain. But if you have a purpose for the pain, it's easier to survive the pain. A woman having a baby is a good example. She's willing to go through that pain because she knows at the end of that pain, the end of that labor, she's going to have a little healthy baby. And for that joy of what she's going to experience afterwards with a child, she's willing to go through the pain. Jesus was willing to go through the pain of agonizing death and crucifixion. Because for the joy that was set before him, he was willing to endure the cross, despising the shame, so that what? So that we could be born again, so that our sins could be forgiven, and so that we could go to heaven. So Jesus took on great pain and suffering, not only in the cross and the crucifixion, but his whole lot of his life. In his ministry, he went through pain and suffering. So Jesus endured pain so we could be saved, we could be forgiven, and we could go to heaven. Paul went through pain. He wrote a lot of the Bible while he was in prison. He said he was in travail, in pain, that Christ might be formed within the Galatian church and other believers. So he went through much pain and suffering so that people could get to know Jesus, so that we could have the Bible. He wrote a lot of the New Testament. So we need to also go through pain. It's just a part of life. God said, or James said in James chapter 1, that the testing of your faith can produce perseverance. And perseverance, if you allow it to have its perfect work, you can be complete and entire, lacking nothing. That means that you can become Christ-like, and that's God's goal for our life, that we can actually, the testing of our faith, if we persevere, if we have faith, if we turn to Jesus, it can actually produce character and godliness within our lives. So what are the pains that we're facing with? You might have just lost a job. Your finances might be greatly stressed at this time. You might be battling cancer. You might have tested positive for the COVID-19 virus. So there's all kinds of pain that we're surrounded with daily in our lives. So sometimes we ask, well, why is this happening? Where are you, God? And I don't always know the answer. Well, actually, the truth of the matter is a lot of times I don't understand, you know, a lot of things that happen in life. But I know that my response to it needs to be a response with a faith perspective. Not responding in fear, but looking to the Lord and responding how God would respond, how Jesus would respond. Joseph, a great verse in the Bible in Genesis 50, he said to his brothers, he said to those around, what you intended for evil or for harm, God intended for the preserving and the saving of many lives. So God desires to use our pain and suffering to be a blessing to other people. As God, they see God moving in our lives through that pain. Paul went through a lot of pain. You can read about it in 2 Corinthians 12 and other places in the Bible. And once again, I've shared this story a couple times recently, but he asked God to take away the pain and the suffering. And God said, no, not doing it. My grace is sufficient. My ability, my presence, my blessing, my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. So Paul wanted the thorn in the flesh, Satan, the Judaizers and all the pain and suffering that he was going through with the persecution to be taken out of his life. God didn't take it out of his life, but he gave him strength to go through it. And God will give us strength to make through, to go through whatever we're facing in life. God wants to live big. He wants to protect you right now. He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to release his strength in our inabilities. He wants to bring us to an end ourselves. You can't make it in life without God. He didn't intend you to make and live this life without him in your life. And so I just highly recommend you just totally surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Sometimes God's preparation comes packaged as pain, as all those stories I just showed you or told you about of stories of pain. And so Jesus wants to show up in our pain. Jesus knew ahead of time that Peter was going to deny the Lord. And he prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. But he did know that Peter was going to fail the Lord. He knew that Peter was going to deny the Lord. But he also knew that Peter was going to turn back stronger than ever and be one of the pillars of the early church. So God's strength was made perfect in Peter's weakness. That pain that he experienced in his life was a preparation to preach his one sermon on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people got saved on that day. So life and pain, it can have a purpose if it's met with faith and us trusting in God. Deuteronomy 30, God says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. He wants to release his blessing and faith within our lives. So I look around, people are afraid, they're frustrated, and they're worn out. And I want to tell them that, you know what, if God's in your boat, he's going to bring you to the other side. And even in the midst of the storm, just like he did in Mark chapter 4, he spoke to the storm, he speaks to our soul, our heart, our feelings, and our emotions, and he says, peace, be still. So I believe that God is shaking the earth right now. And I want your feet to be on a solid rock. And that solid rock is the Word of God, the will of God, and Jesus. And he's actually trying to shake us out of our mediocrity. He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He doesn't want to spit you out of his mouth. He said those that are lukewarm are not going to be welcomed into his presence. So it's not a day to be lukewarm. It's not a day to be complacent. It's not a time to be asleep. It's a time to awake and arise because the days are evil. Proverbs chapter 30, it talks about a rock badger. They're not strong and they're not powerful. And guess what? You're not strong enough and powerful enough to face life as well. But they are wise enough to live in the safety of a solid rock. Hopefully you're wise enough to live in that secret place. Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And then you can say of the Lord, the mighty God, that he is your refuge, fortress, protector, and deliverer. And he would love to do that on your behalf even right now. So Satan's purpose of the pain and suffering and hardships and difficulties that you face in life, his goal is to steal Jesus out of your life. He wants you to get mad at God and disillusioned with God. God wants us to respond with faith and trust and belief in him and his goodness and his faithfulness and his love. So God's purpose is for us to be drawn closer to him during the storm, to grow in faith, and to make it through the fire. Daniel chapter 3 once again tells the story of the three Hebrew children. God shows up in the midst of the fire. The fourth one is God. And they come out of the fiery furnace, and they are delivered from it. God wants to deliver us. In Psalm 34, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Lord is looking to deliver us and bring us safely to the other side. In Daniel chapter 6, a familiar Sunday school and Bible story, Daniel refuses to not stop praying or to stop praying. He refuses to bow to an evil decree. He gets thrown in the lion's den, and Darius comes and he says, O servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually? Daniel continually served the Lord. Was he able to deliver you from the lions? Well, Daniel spoke up. And he was just fine. Knowing Daniel, he probably slept easily, just probably leaning up against one of the lions. So he's taken out of the lion's den, and no harm was found upon him because he believed and trusted in his God. And God wants to bring deliverance, safety, protection, and provision in your life right now. Once again, it's good to remember also, though, that this home, this earth, is not our eternal home. And so we have an eternal home in heaven. Exodus chapter 14, another story of great faith. God brought Israel through the Red Sea onto the dry ground, on the dry ground. So in verse 30 of that chapter in Exodus 14, that day God saved Israel from the Egyptians. When Israel then saw the mighty hand of the Lord, they turned to the Lord and they put their trust and the faith in the Lord. The story of Noah. God warned him of things to come, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but what we're seeing right now is the tip of the iceberg, or what the Bible promises the difficult times and the perilous times will be in the end times. So God gave Noah a warning about things to come, and he told Noah to build an ark to save his family. Well, the Lord wants to be your ark, and he wants you with your life in that boat and in that ark, and that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. So you can put your trust in him, and you can weather the storm. He can be your anchor, even if you're fishing on the Wolf River. Anyway, that didn't make sense. But God can be our anchor in the storm. And he wants to be our anchor, an anchor for our soul. He wants to make our feet like hinds feet. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he desires to raise up a standard and fight on your behalf, to be your protection, your peace, your provision, in your everyday life. Philippians 4:19, he's looking to meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's looking to be your strength so that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He wants you to be Abraham, like Abraham, who in hope against hope, in the natural, he wasn't going to become the father of Isaac and the father of many people and many nations. But he held on to the promise of God. He did not grow weak in faith. He grew strong in faith. He did not waver at the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God has promised, he was able to do. And he's able to do the same for you. Paul and Silas, at the midnight hour, they were in jail, they were in bondage, they were in chains, the darkest hour. This is a dark hour right now. Paul and Silas are our examples. What were they doing? They were heard giving praise and worship to God. And the midnight hour, God shows up in the jail, opens the jail door, breaks the chains off, sets them free from the jail. They lead the jailer to the Lord, and it brings deliverance and salvation to their house. And God is looking in the midnight hour to show up in your life. Let's be like Paul and Silas, and let's turn to the Lord in prayer and in worship, and worshiping God and focusing on him. As I shared earlier about the Canaanite lady, she had great faith, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. She persisted. And Jesus rewarded her great faith, granted her request, and healed her daughter. And Jesus said, "Woman, you have great faith." The centurion received his miracle, and Jesus said, "I've not found such great faith in all of Israel." We want to be people of faith. We want to look to Jesus. We want to bring our problems to Jesus. He said in Matthew 9, "According to your faith, it will be done unto you." In Mark chapter 9, he said, "All things are possible to him that believes." So once again, Jesus is the answer for the world today. He's the answer for everything that you are facing. Once again, this is the victory that overcomes the world. This virus, this pandemic, all of your fears, all of your problems. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith, our belief, and our trust in a mighty, powerful, and great God. Let's put our faith and trust in Jesus, and let's just trust him that he's going to do mighty things. Let's bow our heads and let's pray as we look to the Lord for his protection. Father, I pray Isaiah 41, where you said, "Fear thou not, for you are with us." You said, "Be not dismayed, for you are God, our God. You will strengthen us, you will help us, and you will uphold us with your righteous right hand." Lord, we thank you, Lord, that when we walk through the waters, we're not going to be drowned, and we walk through the fire, we're not going to be burned. We thank you, Lord, that you're in our boat, you're in our lives, and we're going to make it to the other side. We come boldly into your presence right now, and we ask for your mercy, your grace, and your help and strength in time of need. Lord, right now we realize that we cannot handle life on our own. So we surrender our life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we acknowledge that you died on the cross for us. We receive you as our Savior and as our Lord. We open the door of our heart and we say, God, we say, Jesus, come into our lives. We give you our lives. We also realize that we need to confess our sins and we need to repent. So, Lord, we apologize and we ask for forgiveness for our sins and we repent and turn from our way to your way and surrender our life to you, Lord. We receive you. And you said to as many as receive you, Jesus, you gave the right to become your children. And so, Father, we thank you for the privilege of being a part of your family. And we look to you with faith and trust and belief that you are in us, that you are for us, and that you are bringing us to the other side. In Jesus' name, amen.
I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to open my eyes and see that you're shaping my life. All I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I need you to soften my heart and break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every